Congressman, thank you very much for joining us. I want to start off talking about DACA as the Supreme Court takes up the case. How do you feel that the DACA program has made an impact on New Mexico and the rest of our country?
Well, DACA was a recognition of these incredible friends and neighbors, family members, first responders, doctors, nurses, teachers, men and women who have served in the military as well, Anthony, who came to the United States with no fault of their own, from the perspective that they didn't break any laws. They're just as American as any one of us all across the United States. And that's why this important bill and action was put in place. The action that was signed into law by President Barack Obama, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, subsequently we passed legislation once in 2009 and 10, and then most recently within this Congress within the first 200 days. But with that being said, President Trump made the cruel decision to end DACA and throw the lives of dreamers into chaos. And we find ourselves today with arguments before the United States Supreme Court, who are looking at three U.S. district court cases that issued injunctions. What we hope that we will see coming from the United States Supreme Court is to uphold the lower federal court's decisions, which sided on the sides of the American people.
Now, with the Trump administration's actions to end the DACA program, that impacted many who would have been eligible for this opportunity. Can you kind of give us an understanding of, here in New Mexico and really across the country, how many people may have this opportunity but were cut off?
That's correct. And so, again, the importance of us passing the Dream and Promise Act is to make sure that we're opening this up to everyone that's eligible. In New Mexico alone, Anthony, to put into perspective, there's 17,000 dreamers is what's estimated, of about which only 5,800 are eligible because many people did not submit their eligibility by the first deadline that was established. And again, under the threat of President Donald Trump, he's been discouraging more people from coming forward. And so you amplify that across America, where today there's upwards of over 800,000, up to a million dreamers that are eligible across the United States of America. And that the decision by President Donald Trump has jeopardized each and every one of them and all of their families.
Okay, so the House this summer passed the American Dream and Promise Act. What are your hopes that the Senate may actually take up this bill?
Well, again, I'm hopeful that the Senate will still keep the door open to passing the American Dream and Promise Act to create a path to citizenship for DACA, for temporary protected status individuals as well, that it will protect dreamer confidentiality as we move forward, another piece of legislation that we're moving. But Mitch McConnell has said that he's not going to bring up these packages. What was announced today is that two U.S. senators, Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey and Senator Dick Durbin, who is the minority whip of Illinois, are going to offer a motion to compel the Senate to take action. We'll see if that motion gains support. But again, this is good for the U.S. economy. It's good for America. We stand by our American ideals, and that's why Mitch McConnell should take up the legislation and provide certainty to these incredible people across America.
So if the Supreme Court eventually ends up siding with the president's actions on ending the program and the Senate fails to take up the issue, what are some things you think can still be done at the federal level to help dreamers?
I'm terrified that if the U.S. Supreme Court sides with President Donald Trump and tears apart the DACA that was put in place by President Obama, that many of those protections that were put in place for dreamers will all be stripped away, because this administration will only be encouraged to move forward with those hateful policies that I described earlier. So I'm not looking towards the Supreme Court not siding with the lower courts. Again, three federal district courts have all sided on the sides of dreamers and the American people. And so I'm certainly looking at this through the legal lens, where I would be really surprised if the Supreme Court does not agree with those lower courts.
How do you feel that this could impact the economy if around 700,000 people were no longer eligible to legally work in the United States?
Well, Dreamers contribute, upwards of $1.6 billion in taxes, in federal taxes every year, about the same amount with state taxes across the United States. They're responsible for over $40 billion in GDP. These are our teachers, our educators, our first responders. They are entrepreneurs. It would be devastating to the U.S. economy when you talk about a million people and their families that would then be deported. And again, think about what the president's saying here. Men and women who have served in the military, who have cleared background checks, who have done everything that the federal government asked them to do, who have been in the United States an average age since the age of 6 years old, have pledged allegiance to the only flag that they know, which is the United States of America, sang the only national anthem that they know, which is the Star-Spangled Banner and the anthem here in the United States. What is this president trying to say to them? And so it would be bad on so many levels. It would be devastating. It would hurt the U.S. economy. It would hurt the fabric of our community. And it would hurt the moral compass of the United States.
I just have one more question. What do you have to say to the hundreds of thousands of people who applied to the program and became recipients, who put their faith and information in the federal government so that they could come out of the shadows to pursue legal work and residence in the United States? What do you have to say to them?
Well, they did the right thing. They followed exactly what the federal government said that they should do if they want to apply for this program, and that's the basis of the plaintiffs in the case that's currently before the United States Supreme Court. What I would also say, though, is for everyone that is eligible, that has not renewed their eligibility, I'd encourage them to do so, because if they don't renew that eligibility, they could have a loss of work authorization, they could lose their Social Security number, it could be an accrual of unlawful presence, and would prove a serious barrier should opportunities to apply for permanent legal status for DACA recipients becomes available in the future. Again, we want to encourage everyone that is eligible to please renew their eligibility.
Congressman Lujan, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Anthony.